irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I want to welcome you to the post-diet revolution. That means no more counting calories or carbs or fat grams or anything. No more thinking about food all the time. It really is possible to lose weight and gain health all without ever going on another diet. So I have such a special guest here today, such a super special guest. I just met her. I love her already. She's like my new best friend, and I think you're going to love her too. Forbes Riley is an author, award-winning television personality, entrepreneur, performer, and one of the most sought-after keynote speakers in the country. She's hosted more than 100 infomercials and sold over $2.5 billion, that's billion with a B, billion dollars of products on home shopping channels worldwide. She's also struggled with her weight, and she knows what it's like to overcome obstacles. By sharing a unique and inspiring philosophy that stresses the integration of fitness, nutrition, and behavioral change, Forbes empowers you to define and reach your personal goals, both physical and psychological. As she says, dream it, believe it, achieve it. Welcome, Forbes.
Hey, and good morning. We're here in Los Angeles, and it is very early if you're an East Coaster.
Oh, yes, it is. It's like 7 a.m. for you.
Yeah, something like that. But you know what? We had a great event. We've been here in L.A. We launched my book last night.
Yay! Oh, wait. Say that again. We launched our book.
So, you know, it's so funny because I just met Nina in the bathroom, which is such a girl thing to do. And all of a sudden, we are just chatting away like we've known each other forever. And it, you know, that's a funny thing about sisterhood, because I would have looked at you when I was a little girl and said, oh, my God, she's really pretty. I don't like her. And that's weird, but that's what
I would have looked at me like that, too, because when I was really little, I was like the either way too skinny or way too fat girl with frizzy hair. And I know you can relate to that.
Seriously, wait, where did you grow up that you had frizzy hair?
The Bay Area.
Okay, so I grew up in Long Island.
But I had like the Jufro.
Hello. Ooh. Total Jufro. I mean, seriously, I look like a triangle from Walking Behind. Hello, a little Egyptian thing. And I also had a broken nose, unfortunately, because I hit a baseball bat when I was 8 years old. Crooked nose. Braces for 8 years. Did you have braces?
I did braces.
Okay, silver tracks are not attractive to little boys. And then, this is why I think I do what I do now. They put a little thing in my mouth called a tongue thruster. And so for an entire year, I talk like this. I went to speech therapy. I'm like, take the fork out of my mouth and I'll sound just fine.
Oh.
You know, and then it's funny because we talked a little bit in the bathroom about some of the obstacles you overcome. And when I was 14 years old, my dad slipped. He's a printer, and he cut off the whole front of his hand, and he spent 3 years in the hospital. And my entire teenage years was not only being goofy, ugly, and awkward, but spending every dinner in the hospital with my dad. He had 15 operations. Mm-hmm. And who knew that out of all of that tragedy and loneliness and thinking that I was the ugliest, weirdest little kid in the world, that I would be living literally what I think is on top of the world right now?
Well, you are living proof that you can transform your life and that you're not what happens to you. It's what you learn from what happens to you that matters.
Oh my God, you're like my total sister. This is what I preach. And I just simply say, it's not what happens to you, it happens for you. You exactly. Turn around tragedy, because I will tell you something, and I know you know this as an adult. Bad things happen to all of us. People will die. Things will happen. You will get touched or raped or molested or made to feel uncomfortable, told you were fat. It will happen at some point. How you choose to deal with it is the difference between, I think, people staying on this planet and committing suicide.
Yes, and so many people think, oh, that bad thing happened because that good thing happened. Like, good is a setup for bad. The good thing happened and C was too good to be true. Here's the bad thing. And they look for evidence that, like, good leads to bad. And that makes them not want to trust that they could have their best, most wonderful lives.
Well, I'm going to share something with you, because I do a technique. We teach a thing called Forbes Factor Live, which I have coming up in September, where I've uncovered something I don't think anyone else has done. And I have a book mythically coming out 10 years from now that says, secrets therapists don't want you to know, Freud and Jung had their head up their ass, get off the couch and into your life. I'm not releasing that just yet because I don't want them all to go after me. But I have a question I ask. I'm going to ask this of you because I think just what you said, if you're a person who believes that if good happens, bad's got to happen, that's the operating system of your hard drive.
Yes.
But that can
and
be
then
shifted.
You find evidence. Then you find evidence for it and it confirms that every time something bad happens, you're like, see?
Well, absolutely. And that's your subconscious. Well, that's the difference when people say you can or you can't. Well, I can't do it. Well, your subconscious is going to make sure that you can't. Your conscious says, see, we told you we can't. But yes. Let me ask you a question. I know you've got a whole bunch of questions for me, but what's your first memory in life?
No. I can't believe this. That's what I ask people. That's one of the first questions I ask my patients.
Am I like looking in the mirror? That is not. Where did you get that?
That's in grad school.
I didn't go to grad school. Uh-huh. I'm not a doctor.
Well, that's brilliant because the reason that I do it is because that what happens in your first memories of life has to do with your present day situation. And
girlfriend.
As a psychoanalyst, that's my entire world is figuring out how is the past haunting your present and how do you put the past in the freaking past?
Okay, newsflash, I must have channeled you because I didn't go to school for any of this. It came to me, and this is the work that I've been doing for almost 15 years, beyond my acting and TV hosting career, and that's exactly what I ask people. What is yours?
My earliest memory is when I was 16 months old, and I woke up in the middle of the night. I was on a ship. We were actually going from New York to Europe, and the ship hit a hurricane. My parents left me in the crib because I was sleeping. They left me. Okay.
I got the energy on how you feel about your parents right
well,
now.
Well, my parents of my childhood. I woke up and my crib is like sliding back and forth.
So what decision did you make about life?
The door's open.
Yeah.
And this woman came and she picked me up.
Who was not your mother?
Was not my mother.
Did you know that she wasn't your mother?
Oh, I knew she wasn't
my
mother.
Okay, so let me ask you a question because I need to get to know my new best friend. What decision did you make about life based on that?
I think that what I thought was that I need to take care of myself. I can't rely on other people.
So stop for a second.
And
how does that show up in your life?
It did show up in my life before I became analyzed and a psychoanalyst.
Congratulations.
I wouldn't let people in.
Right. And everyone who's listening to that, you need to understand, because you made that decision, that is going to not only haunt you, but it's what runs your operating on your whole operating drive. So every decision that you make bounces off of that. And if you can't trust people as an adult, you're going to go, wait, why don't my relationships work? Why doesn't my marriage work? Because of that. And if you're right, if you can tweak that memory, your entire life is better. And I'll tell you what, when you change that memory in your life, you go back and ask the same question, you can have a new first memory. That really isn't your first memory anymore, is it?
Well, I look at it differently.
Yes.
I look at it like, oh, that woman who came and got me, like, actually, someone came and got me. It wasn't the person I wanted to come and get me, but this, so that you can maybe rely on other people and not the people that.
Right.
So we're speaking the same language. I'm just couching it in the terms of psychoanalysis, contemporary, not Freudian. And you're talking about your philosophy of life, but it's the same thing. And that's what transforms people.
You know why? Because it's the truth. I actually was just in Costa Mesa working with a nutritional doctor, and we created a little web series called The Truth, Honest Solutions for a Complicated Life. Because he has got nutritional answers to a lot of the things that frustrate us. Because beyond your mental, if you're not eating enough nutrition, which most of us are not because the foods that we're offered don't work for us, you don't live your best life on that level. And so the crazy thing is you have to look at your entire body and your life holistically. Your head, your mind, your body, and your spirit. And I'm going to get you to work out in a few minutes with my fitness product because I'm a one-stop shop over here.
Oh, you guys are going to love it. It's amazing. You look at it and you think, what is this? Spin gym. And then she's like, do this. And I'm kind of afraid of her. So I did it. And it's amazing. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, baby.
Anyway, we'll get to that. But it's so amazing.
Thank you.
So you were saying that you were, you know, frizzy hair, not the most popular kid in school.
No.
Life was not good in your early years. And yet you have transformed yourself to be this amazing woman. And you also, I know you were a Broadway dancer and you struggled with your weight.
Mm-hmm. And
so tell us about how you overcame both of those things.
So a couple of things. My mom, we come from a Jewish family as well, which it's interesting to admit. But in Jews, we love to show you how much we love you by feeding you every moment of the day. If it's a happy thing, we feed you. If it's a sad thing, we feed you. If you're sick, we feed you. And it was also when I grew up in Long Island, it was the time when fast food came out. So for us with no money, it was very cheap and fun to go out for dinner to McDonald's, Arby's, Kentucky Fried Chicken. I hate to give them all credit, but they were horrible. We didn't know that. My mom was 260 pounds my entire life. She lived in a muumuu and her had swollen ankles and veins that showed and diabetes when she got old, and she passed away at 70, which just breaks my heart because she was the most amazing woman in the world. And she just didn't know. So I hate getting emotional about this. I bought her a membership to a gym. So I was a dancer, but I was always the chunkiest kid in class. I was really talented, which was frustrating because ultimately you just got bullied all the time. I was just made to feel bad all the time that my thighs were bigger than everybody else's. And the cute little skinny girl who was not nearly as talented got a lot more attention because she was skinny. And it's weird. We valued that so much back then. We still do, actually. It's the cover of magazines and Photoshop makes you look tiny. And I had these thighs and I just was chunky. And we're standing at the outside of this health club. I just paid an entire year membership. We get to the door and she says, "I'm not going in." I said, "Yes, you are. We're here and I paid for you. You're going in." She's like, "I can't." I'm like, "What do you mean you can't go in? Put one step in front of the other." She said, "Look, stop it." She said, "Everybody in there knows more than I do. I don't want to be made fun of. I don't want to wear those stretchy black yoga pant things. And I just don't feel comfortable. I'm not going. I'm really sorry." And that moment, because you talk about my philosophy, I dream it, believe it, achieve it. I said, "You know what? What if I could make it better for everybody? What if exercise could be done at home that didn't require big bulky machines? What if you didn't have to go running and jogging? What would you do if you were an overweight person at home? What would you give them because you'd like to save your mom?" Ultimately, I didn't save my mom. I didn't save her from smoking or overeating. And that's too bad.
And she didn't save herself.
Well, but she didn't. No, here's the thing. She didn't have, it's not fair. She didn't have the tool. She was lied to by our community, okay? She had coffee in the morning. She had, my dad used to put his sugar, right? This is how we talked in Long Island. He had so much sugar in his coffee, the spoon would stand up. Nobody told us that Captain Crunch with sugar and bologna on white bread and chicken cutlets was a bad food. Mm. She didn't know.
She did the best she could.
She did more than the best she could. She tried so hard. And she managed a family when her husband was in the hospital for 3 years. So what if somebody was out there screaming, "You guys are lying to us, Wonder Bread. You guys are lying to us, Oscar Mayer bologna bullshit." I'm sorry, I can't say that, but yes.
Yeah, you can say that on this show.
Nathan's hot dog. It's not food. And so that torment of her living inside of this body, I watched that happen. And then for myself, I watched what happened, how much, you know, I was a Broadway dancer. When you're heavy, I was on Broadway with Christopher Reeve, and I got sent to Overeaters Anonymous. I was made to feel bad all the time.
Humiliating. Mortifying.
John Avildsen, the director of Rocky, he called me on the phone. I just wanted to be an actress like Julia Roberts and Sandra Bullock and said, "If you could just lose 15 more pounds, we're going to give you the lead in this film." And I couldn't. I just didn't. I think I was eating a donut when he was telling me that on the phone, stuffing down emotions because something was missing inside of me. And consequently, you and I share something else. I finally figured it out. Two miracles happened. Number one, I hosted infomercials and I got introduced to Jack LaLanne, who is the godfather of fitness. And by the way, if you don't know who this is, you must Google Jack LaLanne. I got to do an infomercial with him. We had a conversation about juicing right after I'd given birth to my twins. I ballooned up to 208 pounds. I had a 65-inch waist, but I was healthy enough. I pushed out 2 7-pound twins.
Wow.
I know. That operative word, pushed out 2 7-pound twins. In fact, here, you guys can't see this. You can on Facebook, but not on radio. Take a look at this photo, and I just want to hear your reaction on radio. See that?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That does not even look human.
Right. That is probably the largest woman out there. That white thing in the front of my... that's my belly.
Wow.
Yes, thank you. That was about
crazy.
I know, and I was living right up here at the time. That's me at 42. Now, at 42, most people don't recover from a pregnancy weight. And on the right side...
That's like beyond a pregnancy.
Yeah.
It's like a double pregnancy because it was.
14. Who pushes out a 14-pound baby? All right. And then also now look at the right side. Yeah. Me at 50. That's me wearing a size 4. I didn't wear a size 4 when I was in my 20s. Yeah. But meeting Jack LaLanne, his big thing, and take this with you, everybody. If man made it, don't eat it.
Oh, I love that.
When my kids were born, that's their mantra. "Hey, mom, did man make macaroni and cheese?" Mm-hmm. "Did man make apple?" No. God made an apple. You can have an apple. You can have a banana. You can have... If man made it, don't eat it. That was his entire philosophy.
I love that. I'm writing that down. Because I always say, don't eat it if it's out in a wrapper.
Well, yeah, I mean.
But I like that better.
Here, if it's a one-word ingredient. You know they say read labels? There's no label on an apple, banana, melon, fish, chicken. Yeah, none of that. And then, but that was almost good enough for me. And then I created my Eat Journal. And the Eat Journal is a 6-week program. And you and I share this in common. It's a journal for what you eat and for what's eating you. Now, why does this work for millions of people? And I'll tell you why. Because it's not a diet. You want to write something else down? What's your definition of diet?
Well, look, I say never trust a four-letter word where the first three letters spell die. Diets are about what you're eating, not about what's eating at you.
Okay,
not
hang on
about
a second.
Why.
See, I don't think it's about food at all. And I think that's because...
It's not about food.
Well, but hang on. For
it's
most overweight people, the psychology is if they see that word... Deprivation, starvation, oh my God, I have to do this. What if you change the entire word, right? Write it down, D-I-E-T. Hang on to your hats. Decisions I eat today.
Oh, okay.
You look at Josh,
yeah.
Who, my fiance, he is an award-winning bodybuilder. I will tell you, his decisions every day, there's no bread, there's no sugar, there's nothing. He eats every 3 hours. This man, and you know why? Because he has a why. And it's powerful. When you look at somebody who just eats, you know, whatever they eat and they're very large, that's a decision. We don't realize we have power. In fact, we're, as a society, we don't want you to win. Go out to dinner. Now, this is like my magic trick. What's the first thing they're going to ask you when you go out to dinner? When the waitress comes over, what does she say?
Would you like something to drink?
Yes, she wants you to drink. And by the way, if you say water, she gets mad at you because she knows you're not going to tip. But she'd like you to buy a cocktail for $8, $10. And then we get a little woozy, you can have all kind of bad food, right? That's the first decision. You can say, I just want water. What's the second thing they do at a restaurant?
Can I get you any appetizers
to start? Right, because you need to start your dinner with food. No, but before the appetizers, there's one thing that's even worse.
You're going to have to tell me.
A bowl of bread.
Bread. Yes.
Bread and gluten are killing our society, but they want to give that to you at this wonderful restaurant. By the way, why do you want to give food before you have to buy food? Why don't you give some crudités? But we don't. Say no to the bread. There's a popular restaurant that rhymes with ack, and you don't go in, but you go out. Anyway, it's a steak place, and here's what's interesting. Their bread is kind of warm, and if I'm hungry, I've actually inhaled it before it hit the table. Where did it go? With the nice butter, it's gone. That's ridiculous. I set out, you're on this great program, all of a sudden you've cheated. Here's what my thought is. The decision is, please don't put the bread on the table. Third decision, you're going to put a big portion because we're in America. Do me a favor, would you cut my portion in half, put the other half in a to-go box before I even see it? And then finally, no, I don't want dessert because I just had a great meal and I don't need another 15,000 calories on top of my 15,000 calories.
Exactly. And deprivation, the anticipation of deprivation, only leads to wanting something more. So when you allow yourself the choice, then you can choose not to have it. When you tell yourself, oh, I can't have that, this is what I hear all the time. I can't have that. And so I have to have a lot of it because after I have it, I'll never have it again until I lose X pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than... I can have it. Do I want it?
Well, that's the other part of this. So this is a journal. I don't actually put anyone on a food diet. I don't really care what you eat. You can eat what... I have people who swear they've lost tons of weight with no diet because it doesn't matter to me what you eat. At some point, if you have to write it down and you go, you know what? I'm going to... If I want that brownie, but I have to commit to that... I don't want to write down I had a brownie. I just told her I was going to lose weight. And I will tell you something. You know the difference between a brownie and a piece of lettuce. But usually you're not very honest with who? Yourself. Do you ever have cash in your pocket and at the end of the day, you don't know where it all went?
Yes. What's that about?
Same thing with food. How much food did you put? If you don't write it down, you have no idea what you stuck in your mouth. If you literally commit to just writing it down, and by the way, I made the book in four colors with lots of big spaces. Most of the journals I ever looked at were like these tiny little things that boys write. Nothing against boys, but I like color. The other side of the journal, though, is the part that answered everything for me. It is 42 days of kind of a happiness quiz. So, for example, this one, it says commit. What are three things that you're committed to achieving this week and why? If you can get happier, if you can remember what it's like to be a child and play, take yourself out on a date, this book, this journal series, which is also an online course, I've had people call me going, I just cried. I just got honest with myself. We're so busy doing, especially as women, you know, most people have never been asked what they want. They went from high school to college to marriage. They've got kids they're taking care of. And all of a sudden they wake up one day in their 40s going, wait a second. My life is half over and I don't even realize what I want. Maybe you want to travel. Maybe you want to not have that big house, no responsibility. Maybe you don't want to put up with that boss. You have a choice.
Always. And sometimes people, the only thing that they can choose is, or the only thing that is fun or pleasurable to them is food, right? And when you have more fun in your life, you're not relying on food for fun. Food is not fun. Food is food. It should be enjoyed, but it should not be the one thing in life that you do to give you
feeling. Redefine things. So you know what food is? FOOD. Write it this way. Fuel only on demand. And to that end, I'll tell you, most people, the reason that they're overeating, and this is really important to me, is that they're just not getting enough nutrition in their food. I will say they, whoever they are, is lying to us. Your chicken is full of hormones, so is your steak. You don't get enough real nutrition in your body, so you're constantly craving. You start to have sugar, the most addictive thing on the planet, and you want more and more, and it's this weird cycle. Learn a little bit more about food, and then we have a thing called Forbes Fuel. We have amazing nutritional supplements that you take, because if you can feed your body nutrition, it doesn't want empty calories. And I will tell you, you have more energy, your skin looks better, your sex life is better. You take off your clothes, you go, you know what, I look okay naked. That's my ultimate litmus test. Can I look in the mirror and go, you know, yes, I have a little stretch marks, but you know what? Those are my babies, and I wouldn't trade them. No, this
well,
is the thing.
Damn. You guys have got to see this picture. I don't know. Is it online somewhere? It's truly amazing.
The truth is you also have to fall in love with yourself. Here's the crazy thing about you. Your body, it's the only one that God gave you. If you screw it up, where else are you going to live?
Okay, I just posted that on Instagram last week.
Okay, you did not.
I did so. I'm going to prove it
to
you.
This is bizarre. I'm like meeting my blonde twin sister. This is my sister from another mother. I'm in love with her.
This is crazy.
You didn't just say that.
Seriously, I did.
There's me and Jack, by the way.
If you don't take care of your body, where will you live?
Okay, this is crazy. You guys, do you sense this? That I'm literally Okay, I just said this. I did not see that. You guys, do you see that?
I posted it like last week.
Okay, so we're on the exact same wavelength of magnificence. I'm in love with you. Am I allowed to do that, technically?
Yes, she is. She is. It's very mutual.
So check, that would be Jack. Okay. I'm actually going to go see his wife tomorrow. Elaine Lalane is turning 93 years old. She does man push-ups. She juices every day. She lost her husband 7 years ago.
Age of what? How old was he?
He was 96.
Wow. And wasn't he doing exercise up until like the moment before he died, practically?
He was. Jack Lalanne, and this is incredible. The greatest gift in my life beyond my kids and some beautiful gifts, but he worked out every single day of his life for 2 hours. He was even in the hospital. He would do chin-ups. He was never going to say die. And unfortunately, he had a little heart valve transplant, and he got a little bug in the hospital, which is a very bad place to go if you don't want to get sick. And he fought it for a year. And even in he sat in a wheelchair because he got weak, which was so hard to see a man who at 70 pulled 70 boats a mile and a half handcuffed across the Alcatraz River being a weak person. But his mind was never weak. And he would constantly, because my kids, we actually woke up, get this, on his 96th birthday in his home with his wife. It was just us, my family and Jack. And there you go there. If a man made it, don't eat it. He was one of the greatest living inspirations of our time, and I get to move his needle forward because I don't want his legacy to go away. He wanted too much for all of us. He would just look at you and say, look, you know, cooking kills. He would talk about fresh enzymes. He was so ahead of his time, but it's so important right now to seek out food and nutrition and fun and move and just enjoy your life to no end, because otherwise, what are we doing here?
Live, do not merely exist.
Go, I'm loving
it. Yes. And I forgot to say, hey, you guys, if you want to join our fabulous conversation, you are welcome to do so. The number's 818-602-4929. Join us with ask Forbes anything that you like. I am sure that she has answers.
She's got something. I do have philosophies. That was the other thing that happened, is that I had a lot of wonderful mentors who really helped me understand what could be in life. And I'm going to advise everyone listening, two things you must do. You must seek out a mentor. You do not have to create the wheel. It's been already made. You can make it better, but find someone who's already doing it. And I'll tell you something. Successful people like to help each other, like to reach down because they remember what it was like to struggle. And I have some of the most brilliant mentors ever in all aspects of my life. And I learned this from Serena Williams, who's one of my business partners in Cool Towels, that she's got five coaches. She has a business coach and a tennis coach and a business coach. Who's going to dare teach this woman tennis? But it's not teach. If you're not the coffee in the cup, you can be outside and just look and make her better. Because if you're not playing your own game and you can watch the game, you can coach it. But you cannot do it yourself. You just can't. I don't care who you are. So having a coach, Kobe Bryant as a coach, everyone's got a coach. Because they're willing to be pushed. I didn't have a coach because I was afraid someone was going to tell me that I was not good enough.
But wait a second.
I turned that around.
I heard, because I saw you on The Doctors introducing the Spin Gym, which I want to show everyone in a second. And I've heard that at first when you tried to say, hey, I've got this great product, people were not on board with it.
Oh, no, it wasn't just, hey, let me tell you something. I was lucky or unlucky enough. I work on home shopping channels around the world. I live in Florida right now. I'm on HSN. And I was on a reality TV show for 5 months. I thought, oh, wow, what a lucky break. They're going to help me develop this product, right? It aired on Discovery. Reality is not really reality. And they found the two or three little things that could embarrass me most. And in a one-hour program, I was destroyed on live television. It was unbelievable what happened. I was made to cry that this would never work. I should go home, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like devastated. I went in there smiling, going, this is going to be great. And when it was edited together, it made me look horrible. That night, Spin Gym was the number one Google searched word. Forbes Riley was number three. You go, well, that's kind of cool. Unless it wasn't. I went to bed that night, woke up, and my partner said to me, so, what are you going to do now? And I said, I'm going to make and promote Spin Gym. He said, but no one thinks it's going to work. I said, they're wrong. He said, they can't all be wrong. I said, I think they are. And I spent the last 8 years, and I've now sold 2.4 million Spin Gyms.
I love what you said. I found this quote. You said, I put together a business plan, and it was this. Screw you, I'm going to show you.
Okay, here's the thing. You know what? I went to S University. Screw you, university. I actually use the F word, but I can't use it on a program. Here's the deal. If you tell me I can't do something, I became that much more motivated. Here's what they didn't know. They were boys. Now, anybody watching your Facebook Live, you're wearing a sheath outfit, right? I can see your arms.
Yes.
How many women do you think love their arms?
Very few.
There's like 0.1% of women. Look at your arms, ladies. Take off your jacket and go, oh my God, this little flabby right there. I found the ultimate arm toning, ab sculpting device that you can do in your chair in 3 minutes a day.
And it fits in the tiniest of bags.
And I'll tell you what's cool about this. You know, I don't want to be, people say, oh, like you're selling snake oil, you're on infomercials. Let me tell you something. And I did just shoot my 181st infomercial. I did just have, there's a new little award that I am the highest grossing, longest running female infomercial host of all time.
Yeah. Wait. Yay!
And you know what's crazy about that?
Yay!
I'm probably going to keep this title because infomercials are going away. Television is going away. It was a little bit of a dying art form. So I feel lucky that I got in at the very beginning, the first day, and I've done as many as I have. But let me tell you something. In the last 10 years, my commitment has been to excellence. I bump into fans all the time, whether it's on the airplane or in the gym. And does that really work? I'll put a Spin Gym in your hand, and in what, 10 seconds?
In 10 seconds, I was just like, this is hard.
Well, now, hard
in
is
a
irrelevant.
Good way.
It
in a
activates.
Good way.
Here's what you need to understand.
Challenging. I should this, say this is challenging me, which is what you want.
It's not a resistance band. It's nothing that you've ever seen before. This spins. The act of it spinning actually connects you to your core. And I take a half-naked man, sometimes a half-naked woman, you want to watch, and I show them somebody with very little body fat. And you see every single muscle fire front and back every time you pull this. You got hundreds of muscles in the top of your body. When you fire all of them, you know what happens? You start to really burn fat. You start to boost your metabolism, and all of a sudden, new arms. Now, I'm a little shallow. I got this little sexy dip from Spin Gym. I got a little sexy back from Spin Gym. I got my abs back from Spin Gym in a chair and you on a conference call. I actually work out all day on the. Okay, guys, if you can't see me right now, guess what I'm doing? I'm Spin Gymming.
She's Spin Gymming.
Yeah, why not? And I'll sit back in my chair. My abs are toned. I can punch out some frustration. I'll tone my arms. And I'm wearing a bikini again. And I'm 58 years old.
That's just... What? What?
It's Jane Fonda, my hero. She's 80. And that girl's taken off her... I mean, literally. She weighs 119 pounds. She looks sexy. She's starring in a TV series. And that woman did something that I'm very proud of her for doing. On her TV series, Frankie and Grace. And I've got no connection to it, although I wouldn't mind being on it. She took off her eyelashes, her hair pieces, and she showed what her face really looks like. Because the truth is, even Miss Kylie Jenner in her 20s puts on so much makeup that she looks flawless. None of us look flawless without makeup on. At 80 years old, she's willing to stand there and show who she is. Because I have this philosophy, it's kind of bullshit. Nobody ages gracefully.
No, you got to fight it every step of the way.
And you know what?
If let's, you want to.
Well, but let's take out the word fight. There are ways now that your skin can look good if you take care of it. Your hair can still shine. It's a lot of what you put in your body is what you see on your body. And if you use a Spin Gym every day, I have 2.4 million people using Spin Gym. They email me all the time. But you know who uses, because here's the thing. You may have a gym in your office. Girlfriend, I'm wearing a dress and high heels. I'm not going down to get sweaty and then have to reapply my makeup. You give me a couple of minutes with a Spin Gym. You know, we do a live coaching every Thursday night for free. all over the world on Zoom. Thank God for technology.
By the way, how do you find that? If for those of you who are listening,
you go to Permission Granted Productions with an S.
Permission Granted Productions.
Because I'm going to talk to you about that concept of permission. Most of you are waiting to be successful. You want someone to tell you that you're doing a good job. You are like the Wizard of Oz. When this hit me, the Wizard of Oz, somebody wanted a heart, a brain, some courage, and she wanted to go home, right? And they thought, oh, wow, this great wizard can give me those things. They went on a horrific journey to get there, only to find out the wizard was just a guy behind a curtain. He looked at them and said, I can't give you anything. And actually, I don't have to because you already have it inside of you. All I have to do is give you permission to see that the scarecrow already had a heart, or the Tin Man had a heart. The scarecrow already had a brain. The lion already had courage. He just had to understand that I'm going to give you permission to get it. And Dorothy, you get to go home by just clicking your heels. So what would you like permission to do? Let me ask you a question, Dr. Nina. What would you like permission to do?
I give myself permission to do everything that I set my mind to.
So if you're listening to this program, you're listening to one of the coolest women I've ever met. Do you hear what she just said? She did, because most people say, Forbes, I would like permission to. I'd like permission to be myself. I'd like permission to explore my own sexuality. I'd like permission to be. I had a lawyer say once, I want permission to say no. He actually said those words. So in his brain, he is waiting for someone to give him that permission. You, my rock star, and all the work that you've done on you, congratulations. Give yourself one of those big round of applause.
Right. I will. Okay.
Just gave herself permission. This is why you are, by my definition, successful. There's an internal peace that I feel inside of you.
And I had to work very hard. I had to be at war with myself for a long time before I got to that peace. And I think that's what I love about your message, is you say no matter what you've been through, and you have been through some stuff, horrible losses and challenges from an early age on through adulthood, was his name Quint?
I'll tell you this, Dexter. I have a quote. Yeah. Again, I call these magnetism. These are magnets that used to live on my refrigerator. Now they're my life's motto. But that you're the sum of the obstacles you overcome. And if that's true, and I believe it, that all the bad things you go through help create who you are. I didn't see some of these coming, I will tell you. I raised here in Los Angeles a little boy from the age of 8. We got him as a little brother on the Big Brother, Little Brother program. His mom lived in South Central. He had no dad. And he was a tough little kid. He was a little darker than black. Really hard to see his features sometimes. And he had this philosophy that white people must be better and they had this and that. And he was very angry. And he used to come with us on every weekend. That was part of the deal. He came with us on vacations. He came and stayed at our house. I helped educate him. And it was just, we struggled and struggled. And one day he kind of just relaxed and became my little boy. And I loved him very, very much. He was actually one of the three best men in my wedding. And it's a beautiful picture. When my ex-husband was running for city council here in Los Angeles, he asked all the little kids to draw a picture in the day of their life. And we had a lot of different ethnicities. And Dexter, who grew up in South Central, drew a picture of a drive-by shooting with a kid dead on the street. So back in the early 2000s, actually when I was married in 1995, that was a big reality in South Central. So now we hit 2002. I've just given birth to my beautiful twins. And 6 months later, Dexter on a Sunday morning is getting his hair cut right on Hoover Street, right outside USC, which is one of the richest schools in the country, but also butted up against South Central. And he's walking on Hoover Street to church, and he's wearing blue, and a kid who grew up two blocks away from him, who didn't have a mentor like Dexter did. See, when Dexter found his mother's gun, we took it away. This kid found his mother's gun and kept it. Dexter never got anybody pregnant. This kid already had two kids. He was only 19 years old. Dexter had a sense of a prayer. He had no tattoos. He wasn't part of a gang because he had a mentor. Michael didn't. He didn't have any of those things, so he went towards a gang. And it's funny, I'm watching in Long Island where I grew up how a gang is really permeating and taking over when parents are not around because kids need to belong. I can't blame Michael per se. I can blame the system. I can blame us for the education that we lack, and I can blame him for not giving a thing to do after school and letting kids wander on their own. And so he walked up behind him, jumped out of a car with two other kids and says, "That's the one you're going to kill." Took out his gun and he emptied an entire clip of 10 bullets into the back of my little boy and left him for dead on Hoover Street all by himself to die. Well, I came home, and my ex-husband looked at me and said, "Dexter's dead." He's dead. It didn't even register. We were the cover of the LA Times. You don't want to be the cover of the LA Times for that. We set out a reward, and actually 3 years later, one of the most amazing DAs here in this town, who's now a judge, Davia, found him. And because he was bragging about what he had done 3 years later, and he's now spending 52 years to life in jail. Now, am I happy about that? No. I stood up in the courtroom and got to look at him. And I'm, you know, it's hard to, because he's got two kids who are listening to this right now. I don't blame him. I feel bad for the two kids who are now left without their father because of a system that let us all down. And so when people say it's not a great world, here's my question to you. What little step are you doing to make the world better? I witnessed that. And if life happens for you, it's because I'm standing here talking about this message. That wasn't even a black on white crime. That was a black on black crime. It wasn't even a hate crime. It was I want to belong crime. It's I don't value human life. It's I'm watching stupid video games, which my son does all the time, and I'm killing people. My little boy, I have a beautiful 15-year-old who sits up all around the world with his friends at night, Call of Duty or other bullshit games they do with a gun, and he kills people. How can that be legal? I can't go watch a movie about sex, which is people loving each other, but I can sure watch somebody blow each other's head off. Or I can go to watch Deadpool, which is a great movie. I loved it, but we're randomly killing people. The people that we randomly kill have a mother, a father, a brother, a sister, hopes, and dreams. And we are so desensitized that I just can't stand it. And the last thing, I don't know if you know this, but I was an eyewitness to the October 1st shooting in Las Vegas. Yeah, Google my name, Forbes Riley and Las Vegas. What am I doing standing at the edge of the Mandalay Bay Hotel, having just left a meeting at the Foundation Room to take a beautiful picture out of the strip? And a minute and a half later, I hear pop, 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 pop. I'm thinking, where's the fireworks? Pop, pop, pop. And all of a sudden they rushed us inside going, there's a shooter. And at that moment, there was. It's funny, we started looking on our phones for the news, the CNN. Well, there was no news. It was on Twitter because it was happening live and we were in the middle of it. On my iPhone, you know what I witnessed? I witnessed a guy on my left killing 55 people on my right. We looked down and sure enough, 46 stories down at the concert, we could see it from the balcony. They were killing people and I watched it. They just went to a concert. We are so desensitized. He was playing a video game. He couldn't even see who he was killing. And I don't care what the theories are, if he was acting alone. I don't care. 55 people died and so 500 were injured because somebody randomly thought it was okay to shoot into a crowd. By the way, that torments me too. But if life happens for you, I get to be a voice piece. I actually ended up Facebooking live the most horrific shooting in our country. And Nina, I don't know or care why I was there except that I'm a really good messenger. And that seems to be what I do in life.
And that's a gift that not many people have, to be able to say, this horrible thing happened and I'm going to tell you about it because I want to make you think about what you're doing, what you're talking about with your kids, what is meaningful, what matters. To have the opportunity to make people think, to awaken them, is a gift.
I don't have a lot of female role models in my life. I don't think any of us do. There's a lot of men out there. And by the way, I love my men. But I'm going to share something with you. If you are bald, you have no excuse for not being a millionaire. No, so Nina, think about this. How long did it take you to color your hair? I have a 3-hour color appointment every 4 weeks. It's 3 hours of my life. It took me an hour to blow dry my hair and an hour to do my makeup. Well, do 2 hours times 300. Give a couple of weekends off where I don't wear anything. That's 300. That's 600 hours that a bald man who doesn't wear makeup has every year to do something with it I don't have. I don't have a makeup artist sitting there all the time. If I want to do a Facebook Live, I have to do the eyelashes and the lipstick and the makeup and the Spanx and my nails. I haven't got my nails. Oh, my God. The maintenance on this body alone? Bald men, you have 600 hours. And what are you doing with them? So as a woman, I give us a lot of credit for keeping up the appearance, for doing all of this. And I look at a lot of our men and say, you know what, that's great. My Tony Robbins, my Grant Cardones, T. Harv Eker, all the world. Where are the women besides Oprah? And by the way, Oprah, I love you. You need a spin gym. I cannot wait to meet you, but you have no children. Ellen DeGeneres, I love you to death. You have no children. When you have children, and you know this, I have 15-year-old twins, my mind and my heart is always split. I'm always thinking of somebody else because they're my life. Yet I'm still trying to make a living and move the message forward. So as a woman, we are definitely challenged, but I'm here to tell you it's possible, and you and I are definitely role models for doing it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woo! I'm so inspired. I can see why you are so inspirational out there in the world. But what I love is the depth that you have. You know, one of my favorite stories, and I tell my patients this when they first come, is they always say, oh, it's so embarrassing to be in therapy, or oh, I feel so ashamed, or something like that. And I tell them this story about Michelangelo. Michelangelo was apparently once asked, Michelangelo, how do you take these great blocks of stone and turn them into statues?
That's one of my favorite stories. Oh, my God. You're my sister. Go ahead.
You finish it.
And you know what he said? He looked at the stone. He said, all I have to do is I see the statue inside. All I need is take away the excess.
I free the statues from the stone.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Girlfriend.
That's therapy. That's life. That's becoming who you really are. Not transformation is actually not you becoming someone else. Transformation is you becoming you.
The best version of you. You have greatness inside of you, and you have somehow let someone else take it away. If you can truly learn to stand there and say, my name is Forbes Riley, and I am enough. Because here's the crazy thing. I'm going to warn you. You're not enough. Let me share something with you. You, my friend, as beautiful as she is, you're not young enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not rich enough. You're not famous enough.
For whom?
No. Trust me. You're not. All right.
Okay.
So here's the deal. None of us are. But you're never going to be younger than you are today. So if you're not enough compared to everyone else, wait a second. If I'm never going to be those things, if I am this right now, then I just must be the way I am. Maybe I'm enough. I'm not enough 5 pounds from now. I'm not enough 5 years. Oh, well, that was a go. Well, you know what? If I take a breath and go, if this is the best that it is, I am enough.
Yeah. Because who's the arbiter of enough? Who's the one who judges enough? Right? Ultimately, it's us.
Yeah.
And we have to look at ourselves through compassion. What I teach in my Kick the Diet Habit online program, I help people lose weight by stop dieting and key into who they are. And the main focus is cultivating self-love, self-appreciation. So many people, the way they talk to other people is so sweet, so nice, so kind, so generous. And then they attack themselves.
Let me tell you something. If you're listening to this show right now, I think you're lucky enough. You've got two women here who are on the very similar path. I don't meet a lot of people like you, and it's destined that we're talking. Because we have a very similar message, but one of the interesting things about it is that it's often the messenger. And there's also 7 billion people on the planet. I like that we're doing this. I don't think there's enough of us. So maybe we start training other people to do this. But I've also noticed that Dr. Nina has very not wanted to touch the spin gym since she did before the show.
Oh!
And so I'm going to go away from my mic and make you do this, girlfriend.
Okay.
Give me your thumbs.
Out.
Give me those thumbs, girl. Okay. And all you do is you keep this spinning and you go 10, 9, 8.
It's challenging.
Go.
It's challenging.
Don't sad. Now, here's a crazy thing. Take this from underneath your microphone. I want you to don't stop. Keep going. Put one hand on your heart. One hand on your heart and punch with the other one. Make a fist, girlfriend. Punch. Really fist.
Oh.
Bam.
Take that person who was mean to me in 8th grade.
There you go. Yo. Go, girl. Don't let it sag.
Hang on a second.
Now, this is what's cool about a spin gym.
What happens when
if you let it sag. No, you didn't mess up. Now, first of all, you're a perfectionist, aren't you, my darling?
Okay, wait, stop.
Don't wind it that way.
Okay.
So if you're watching this, here's the cool thing about a spin gym. Unwound, it becomes a stretching product. Go overhead.
Okay.
Go overhead and just lean over and just stretch and open up to the ceiling and you should just go...
It's very yoga.
Oh, God.
I need one of these.
Oh, yes. Go here. Miss Nina, go round. Oh, go round. Now, this doesn't really do anything, but it looks sexy on TV. No, it does. It actually just works you back.
Hey, it's my husband watching.
There you go. All right, so now how do you get it to wind? Watch this.
Okay.
Now, it's not a resistance band. There's nothing like this on the planet. And Stanford University just did a study. This spins at 125,000 RPM, and it rotates through your entire body. Number one, put it in the middle.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing. When you wind a spin gym, listen to me. You have to hold your hands 6 inches apart. And I don't know, husband, if you're looking at this, but Dr. Nina, that's not 6 inches. this is 6 inches right here. Now, put it away from your microphone. Okay. Literally, take it away from your microphone and hold it like a steering wheel.
Okay.
And what you want to do, if you like your teeth, don't wind it near your teeth.
Okay.
And you're going to just wind it up like a Ferris wheel. Now, really, Nina, 6 inches is right here.
Thank you.
And not near your face. Put it down. Because if you like your teeth, okay, now it should wind a lot, look like a lot like Mickey Mouse. Right, there you go.
Okay.
Hello, Mickey.
All right.
Stop whining. Don't move. Stay right there. By the way, I'm noticing her beautiful diamond ring on her left hand. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Pull your belly button in. Engage your core. Sit up tall.
Okay.
Give it a tug and release. And keep it straight. Go. She let it go. You let it sag.
Woo!
There's no sagging. Hang on a second. I'm going to take my microphone off. Don't go away. Come here. All right. You tell everybody what we're doing. So you're going to watch this. You're going to put your hands 6 inches apart.
Okay.
You're going to look at me and you're going to be fierce. Okay. You're going to wind this up. You're going to stop for a second. Pull your belly button in. Connect to your body. Be fierce. Give this a tug and release and go 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. Good. Stay connected to your body. Good. Go a little higher. If you're watching this, isn't this hysterical? And the last one that I love, bend your elbow. Put this on your heart. Lean back a little bit to engage your core. Don't touch the back of the chair. And go 10, 9, punch, girlfriend. That is available to everybody anywhere.
This is Like, I'm kind of breaking a sweat here.
There you go.
Seriously.
If you can break a sweat in a minute, you're not even to 30 seconds yet. This is serious stuff.
This is serious.
Everyone who's got a computer needs a spin gym. Everyone who drives a car, a truck, goes on an airplane needs a spin gym. I'm on my way to
sell. I need a spin gym.
What color would you like? They come in pink, purple, blue, green.
Blue.
Yeah, there you go. Let me tell you something. Yes, yes. And you make it go as fast or hard as you want. Now, my darling, slow it down a little bit.
Okay.
Now, if you let it stop,
all right,
it will just stop. So we're going to wind it again. We're going to get you good at this.
All right.
But the cool thing is, yeah, wind it up. You can also meditate to this. So if you're frustrated, see, spinning is what life is all about. And we talk about putting a new spin on your life. Give it a tug and release. Go, tug and release. Yeah. Now, here's the funny thing. I'm going to work with Miss Nina.
I'm not good at this.
No, no. Now, okay, Miss Perfectionist, what did we just learn?
I'm learning to be good at this.
Well, two things. You were a straight A student in school, weren't you?
How did you guess?
Because of the way you're spin gymming. Because you just said to me, I'm not good at this. No one's good at anything new that they learn. Stop for a second.
That is a
Stay
good
right
reminder.
There. Give yourself a break for a second. You are more than good at it. You have sexy, beautiful arms. You're one of the smartest, most amazing women I've met. Pull your belly button in. Relax for a second. Now watch before you do it. It's a tug and release, and you don't let it sag. Just focus on that. Tug and release. Go in and out. Go. Don't let it sag. We're going to keep. Now, here's the crazy thing. You have let. No, no. Stop.
Okay.
That frustration. This is great. I'm going to play with you after the show. Because what you just did was you're not used to, and most of you are not out there used to, connecting to your core. Do you notice your belly a little bit sags a little bit below the belly button? This is like Pilates. This will change that. Because we're so used to standing sway backed or on one leg. Our posture sucks. We're off to the chiropractor. We don't know what's wrong with me. What's wrong with you is you don't understand the anatomy of your body. That you've got a spine that has no front spine. You must find how to engage your abs so that they stand up straight. If I see one more older person hunched over at a 90-degree angle, I'm going to just scream. Mm. This is salvageable. When you work out and you eat correctly, you can starve off osteoporosis. Watch this. You're going to squeeze your back. You know what that is? Here, no, it's not the front. It's my back. This is a way to keep your posture. We are all doing this. I work with professional pitchers who make $10 million a year. And they're in surgery because they're doing this and they're throwing a 96-mile-an-hour baseball from a bad posture. They're tearing things. They're ruining their body. And that's just not good enough. Here's the last thing I'm going to show you. Put two fingers here. Put two fingers in one side. Face your face. Dive your hand over and just pull. Right? No, no, no. Put your hand, the string underneath your fingers, underneath on this side, right here. And by the way, the instruction is all online. It comes with DVDs. We have a membership program. We're going to help you do all this. And then we have an online training. Just take that right here.
Oh,
and
okay.
I want you to just put this on the others here. Come here. No, right here. All right. There.
Oh, okay.
And just pull this because this, my ladies, is this is your carpal tunnel from typing too much. Just stay there. Breathe.
That's nice.
And I end every day with a spin gym. And here's what I do. And I'll work with you a little bit. We work with everybody. We have coaches for this. But watch this. When it spins and you breathe, most of us forget to breathe on a daily basis. We have no control of our voice. And when you stop breathing fully, you starve your body, your lungs, your organs of what they need most, and that's air. And we forget that we are these amazing God-made machines. Now, by the way, I have to do one more plug, guys. I have a book that's launching literally. If you go to Amazon right now, and I would love you to get it because I'd love it to be number one, but it's called Verdition. Now, what is this? So Verdition is the concept that you can be a star. And in fact, see the back of that? How do you be a star, whether you're an actor, singer, dancer, musician, or just someone in your own life who needs to brand? You become more famous and wealthier, one, if you can make money in your sleep. You learn how to make programs online, whatever your expertise is. I don't care if your expertise is how you clip roses or walk a dog. You have an expertise that is valuable, will make you money, and no longer want to hear any broke conversations. I don't have money. I can't afford to. No, you can't afford not to. You can't afford not to understand what your brand is. You know what a brand is? A brand is anybody in the office who's like, literally everybody has a brand. Think about people in your life or in your family. Who's the one who always shows up late? Who's the one who always does too much? Who's the one who always eats too much or cooks too much food? That's their brand. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, she's a complainer. Oh yeah, she's always fit. That's their brand in their world. That's your brand. Now, I think true happiness is when you own your own brand. Is when you say, you know what? I'm really not that person. I'm this, and I'm going to take steps to promote that. And then the digital age. Nobody gave you your radio show, did you? You designed this all on your own, and now you're a star because of it. Hello, welcome to LA Talk Radio. In the old days, you had to wait for somebody at a studio to find you. Now you create your own studio on YouTube. We're both on Facebook Live. Let me tell you something. I could make money right now. I could offer you my online program, tell you that it's $97. Do you want to join me? I can make money that way. My daughter is 15 years old. She made $17,000 in 1 month. You want to know how she did it? I'll do it. She looked at that, offered a program that I teach, and closed, just literally, kept selling it. I'm like, McKenna, but by the way, my daughter's very smart. Right before she did that, she said, Mom, hey, can I get 50% of whatever I sell for you? And I thought, yeah, sure. Okay, you know what half of $17,000 is? Yeah. So she... understanding and hanging out with people who do things differently. The last thing I'm going to tell you guys, you're the sum of the five people you're closest to. If one of the people in your world is listening to Dr. Nina or Forbes, now you're hanging out with millionaires. Now you go, that's interesting. If the people you're closest to are whiners or complainers, odds are that's what you're doing. And here's the last thing. Add up the sum of money that each of them make, and you are the average of the people you hang out with. If I were you, I'd find one millionaire mentor so your annual income goes up.
Forbes Riley, you are... freaking amazing. I am so glad that you were here. I feel so inspired. We could do this for 10 more hours or maybe 10 more years and still have things to talk about. Thank you for sharing your amazing wisdom and guidance and inspiration. Tell us how people can find you.
Well, the crazy thing is today I'm actually on my own radio show called The Forbes Factor about health, wealth, and happiness. And we are on 12 o'clock Pacific, 3 p.m. on Voice America. If you simply go to ForbesFactorRadio.com, you know what? I'm all over social media. I love Facebook. So just go to my name, Forbes Riley. And if you want to come and actually break through, I'm having two trainings coming up, one in September, one in February, Forbes Factor Live. Again, if you don't remember any of this, just come to my, literally, I'm the one who does my own social media. Find me, message me, say hello, say Dr. Nina. I'll give you something for free if you do. I will give you a free gift if you mention the Dr. Nina Show. How does that sound?
That sounds good to me. You guys, get your free gifts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Check it out. Well, thank you. And best of luck with your book and everything. And it's wonderful to meet a sister of the heart.
Absolutely. Mwah.
Mwah.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.